This week on Call the Midwife After Show, in a stunning scandal of half-truth and mid-fibbery, prevaricator provocateur, Heidi Scamus Thomas lies about no character deaths, leaving us to wonder why as we ponder in a puddle of tears. All that and more in just a moment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, welcome everybody. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Bird.
Hi everybody.
And Courtney Stewart is back.
Hello.
All right, as I talked at the beginning, we were going to get into all of the horrible story about Barbara and the fact that we were lied to.
Heidi
Thomas, you are a liar.
That's right. And we are mad and pissed off about it. But before we get to that, we got to get to the other storylines, because if we start with Barbara, we'll never get to the other one.
That's
so
true.
I wanted to talk first about Dr. Turner and Michael Sumter and Allison and the whole deal there, and then we'll get to Barbara and Phyllis and everything else that we want to chat about. But first, we see that he's got a full boat. We've got the Turners wondering, you know, hey, Tim wants to go see the Stones. We have to remember. Oh, that's right, 63.
Makes sense.
Right, yes. And what is it? What doctor says? Wait, shouldn't they? Aren't they bad news? What was the term he used?
Bit rough or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, rough, right. Yeah, he doesn't know the half of it just yet. So of course he says we'll talk about it later. And then we learn later. Okay, so he's going to be filling in for somebody at the reform school. Or sorry, the remand school.
The remand home. Wadelock House.
We learn a bunch of young men who on the wrong side or off the beaten path. No, what do we want to talk?
Some bad boys.
They're bad, yeah. Bad.
With scabies.
Scabies.
Yeah,
and apparently don't know how to synchronize their jumping jacks. So
yeah. They're all a mess.
They definitely need to be schooled.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
All sorts of wayward activity. And taunting and bullying, etc. And then we see that he has a private, doctor session, I guess, with Michael. And that's when he learned that. What I thought was very strange is that, we have the mark on his hand, and then he turns the wrist over, and you see the cuts on the wrist, and we went, whoa.
What's happening here?
And then what happened?
I don't know, but we never talk about that afterwards.
It's like it's done.
How many tips? There was four? I mean, so...
Yeah, he had one, two, three, yeah.
Something like that, and I'm going, well, that couldn't have been four in one shot.
Maybe that'll be in
the American... Four different attempts?
That'll be in the American airing. Yeah, you know how it's different when they...
It could be.
And I was just going,
and then it was never a... obviously it affected Dr. Turner. This kid's the same age as his son, so clearly he knows that, this is not... Well, and of course, there's no father involved, there's no family, all that kind of stuff. But I'm going, why nobody's going to talk about that? Nobody's going to ask questions about that?
Nope.
We can talk about the scabies, though.
Yeah, scabies, that's right.
That's normal.
We can handle. Yeah, we can handle that. And so, of course, he's bullied. We've seen him bullied once or twice. We get to see all that. And then...
Because he has a wife.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, pregnant wife.
Weird to me.
Well, did they know he was married, that Allison was his wife, or just did they think she was the tart? And
well, the first time they pushed him, he said, "That's my wife." Like,
right.
So they had to. I mean,
oh, that's right.
Yeah,
because he did say it's my wife. Mm-hmm. But I was like, well, am I missing something? Is it like a guy that's his wife? Like, maybe that's why they're taking it so weirdly.
Oh,
like, that's what I didn't know where we were going, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, it seemed weird that they were making such a big deal out of the fact that he had a wife who was pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess because he's young. I don't know.
Well, just a reason to bully
just
people.
Just a reason to...
Yeah, do we need a reason, really?
No,
because
don't.
It's just fun, right?
Yeah.
Because that's why we do it.
Yeah.
So, is that why you do it?
That's why I do it.
I don't bully anybody, John.
Yeah, John.
He got into the fight. Doc Turner's just beside himself because he can't get the kid to open up to share anything. And then obviously he's seeing his son in him. And then he's having problems with his son too. So that's exacerbating the situation. The son's staying out.
Out late at orchestra practice.
Yes. Yeah. I was going, wait a minute.
You know what happens at band camp, guys.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Oh, yeah.
At band camp, you catch more than scabies.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure, obviously, he's projecting because he's transferring all that onto his son. He's worried about his kid ending up at remand.
At the remand home.
Remand home. I keep calling it remand school or remand farm. Remand home. Remand farm. This is where we grow them.
So.
So, but he's trying like crazy to have him open up. And then we do get to learn that there's no family. There's nothing. This kid, he's got no shot. Nobody standing up for him. And in fact, we even see Dr. Turner saying he just needs somebody to believe in him, have faith in him.
Well, and Michael talks about how he feels badly for having stolen the car that he stole. He wishes he hadn't done it. Mm-hmm. But he says, he talks about how he didn't know that it was wrong until after he did it.
Yeah.
You need someone to show you what's wrong before you've done it.
Yeah, and if you don't have that authority figure, the father, parent, whatever.
Yeah, because he didn't have family.
Somebody needed to tell.
Aren't people coming to visit you during visiting hours? Nope, ain't got nobody.
But yeah, but I'm with Courtney on this too, because you need somebody to tell you not to steal? You knew it when you did it. But you probably weren't aware of how bad you weren't aware of the consequences and how it could affect you. You know.
Yeah.
Ultimately, but
sometimes takes a little adult perspective.
That's
to get
true. And the kids, what is he, 16, 17, whatever he is?
I guess, 16, yeah.
How many stupid things did we do at 16?
None.
17?
I didn't do anything.
Not Courtney.
But I was
not
like the best
Courtney
kid
waited
ever.
Till she was 30.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she did all of her dumb things.
I was scared of my dad.
Good reason. I'm scared of my older brother. He's 10 years older than me, so
with good reason.
Yeah, he would kick the crap out of me. So I didn't. Yeah, but anyway. So, of course, Michael does not have that issue.
No, he doesn't. He has nobody.
But he does. We know that he has a wife. We just don't know who she is yet because Sumter is his last name. So they're looking for Sumter.
And there's no Mrs. Sumter on the logs.
So, you know, he enlists. Sheila offers to help.
Because Sheila's back being a midwife because
they need help.
Barbara's dying.
Barbara's dying.
We'll get to that. So, but Sheila's going to help. And of course, she doesn't find anything. But as luck would have it.
Lo and behold, what a coinkydink.
She has to pay a visit to a really evil woman.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Wasn't her mom a wicked.
Her mom's such a
stepmother.
Yes.
Bad word.
Exactly. Yeah. Mrs. Weatherly is Allison's mother is just a pill.
Yeah.
She's Ursula.
Yeah.
She is.
But
Ursula.
As a mother.
Yeah.
Worse than Ursula.
Exactly.
The worst of the Ursulas.
Terrible. And all because she was worried about what people are going to think and this other stuff and just hates Michael and then he's a nothing. You're exactly. You're never going to get anywhere with him.
Gone. Yeah. Now, in defense of her, she is trying to be protective of her daughter.
Sure, but I mean,
in a not very nice way.
Horrible way. It's the way she was demeaning her daughter about not knowing
idiot.
To do
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Whatever
love
she said,
affection.
When you know, it was something about knowing what it is and what real affection is.
And a flyby,
exactly. Oh, geez, woman. between the thing and proper affection.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Between the thing that's and proper affection.
Yeah.
I was going, what thing? What thing? What is she? I didn't. So Sheila figures it out clearly. So that she is Michael's wife, and then she lets her know that look, my husband is helping him at the
by crazy random coincidence.
Well, he's helping at the Remand farm.
It's a little bit of a stretch on that one, just saying, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we can suspend our disbelief.
It's a lot of stretch.
Yeah,
right. So now they're going to help, and I thought it was the first thing. Let's go. He's got his court appearance. He's going to make a statement. I'll help you. And he said, "I love that he didn't think Michael didn't think he had the ability to do this.
I don't have the words.
Don't have the words. And I was just thinking about it. Yeah, he probably that mindset. If he doesn't have any education or whatever. I mean, you're going up into this authority, who knows what it's like. Yeah, no idea. You're going to the court. Yeah, and the fact you're going in front of a panel of people.
Adults.
How do I explain this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I thought it was nice. Dr. Turner says, I'll speak for you. Yeah. I guess it's in some fashion or standing up for him.
Sure.
Or
vouching
for
him.
And he got the suit for him.
He got the suit. He went in there. It was great. It was a good thing to see Dr. Turner kind of dial it in a little more because we kind of talk about how he's a bit pizzazz. Yeah. And it was like... It was nice to sort of see him sort of circle that a little bit when they were talking about him not having the words and him saying, you can find different ways to say things. And I just felt like he was very engaged in that in a way that I had not seen in a while.
From it was nice. It was
his
nice.
Character, so
it was nice. And it was nice to see Tim have something because, Tim usually has, unless we had the au pair. Tim's
there was,
not
really, got nothing.
Right. Once Magnus
he
gone.
Comes and go.
And I had a little, and it's like, get into it. Yeah, let's see this.
Have a little something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was good. But Michael makes a great standing. Of course, Mom, Mrs. Weatherly, lets it out that after she belittles the daughter that the court appearance is happening. And so she shows up. Allison shows up to court. Well, and right there I'm going, is she going to have the baby right there with a court hearing? I thought
we haven't had a baby. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I was going, okay, here we go. Let's testify, you know. But we didn't have that. But we did see Michael stand up, and he had the words, and in his way,
she was his strength.
Yeah, and he was going to do it for the kid too. Yeah, so that was great. Yeah. And then we saw the panel of three, the parole board, whatever you want to call them. It was had an impact. But not so much.
Yeah,
not
she'll
so much.
Stole
a car.
Exactly. You know, that's right. We hear you. She's and you know, Dr. Turner, you don't need big words. You just need the truth.
Yeah.
Nah, wrong.
No, yeah. The truth will put you in jail.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe if he was remorseful, how long would they put him in? I mean, we don't know anything like that. True. But I was thinking 3 years. Wow. You know, my brother's. No, I can't say that.
No. Someone you knew.
Someone I know.
Someone you know stole a car. 3 years did seem steep.
We probably all know somebody who stole a car.
Exactly. So, you know, joyriding. No, not.
Stole.
When you were 30, you might
have. Yeah, sort of, maybe.
But 3 years, I'm going. Damn.
Yeah,
you know, it's Grand Theft. So, I mean, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it was like in 1963. But, yeah, but the fact that they were going to keep them there, and who knows what he'd be at the end of the 3 years. Because he's not going to have Doc. Who knows if he's. I don't think he's going to have Doc Turner there. And we clearly know that the man running the remand house really interested in saving. You can't save everyone. He's not even trying to save everyone.
Yeah,
he's trying
to save one, right?
And he wasn't interested in saving any of them because there'll be nothing left. So I just went, I don't know. This poor kid, he's never no luck growing up, no family growing up. And now the one time somebody steps forward, he has to leave the room.
Yep.
Sorry, I got to take this call.
Yeah, I got to go. Yeah, exactly. So
sent him away. He wanted him to make sure.
Yeah, that's true. He did. He stand up on his own, which is great. So we can see that he has. We get the turn on that.
Yeah,
And we got to see how he saw how he felt when he heard that he had a son, and then when he was actually holding his child.
To see the baby.
It's very precious.
Tim with his dad and the standing up and being a man himself,
You
know, you took my stuff without asking.
Yeah, how would that be if I did it? And,
right.
Exactly. So, and apparently he's going to go to get to see the Stones next month.
And then he's like, I'll come with you. Yeah. No, dad. Love that.
Exactly. Anybody see the Easter egg in that storyline?
Oh, yes. I did, yes.
You saw it because I told
you. Well, yeah. But no, I noticed it when they first brought it up.
Mrs. Weatherly with her sweater.
Yeah.
That she got at the jumble sale to show to Allison. Recognize that sweater?
Oh, no, I didn't in the time.
Yellow sweater.
Yeah, yeah.
So that ended up in the trash in episode 4
from the Dobsons,
or 5. From the Dobsons. Tocophobia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
But it was clean.
Little callback.
It was all very nice.
Yeah.
And I was glad I went to a nice home.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on here.
Move on, but we have to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to listen to other than ourselves, because we listen to ourselves a lot.
We do.
But, you know, we have a wonderful podcast by the name of Conversations with Maria Menounos. Miss Tamara Berg's been on it.
I've guest co-hosted on her podcast. It's wonderful. It drops on iTunes on Fridays, and she has health influencers and health practitioners and relationships experts and celebrities. And it's like, well, she is one of my girlfriends, but it's like we're all hanging around with one of our girlfriends, our gal pals. And it's a really fun podcast. So if you guys get a chance, listen in. It drops on Fridays. It's on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Check it out,
Check
guys.
It out.
It's a lot of fun.
Very nice. All right. So we want to talk Lucille here.
Lucy.
Because with all the trauma that's going on, of course, Barbara not being able to see her patients. One of them, Lucille picks up one of them. We find Mrs. Palmer.
Yep.
And, you know, I was wondering when they would get back to this because, you know, when we first met Lucille, obviously she's going to be homesick.
Yes.
And, you know, for journeying so far away from home, et cetera. When were they going to find time to bring that back up? And this is, we finally got it. And as luck would have it again, Miss Palmer is from
Palmer's
Jamaica
right
as well. And whoa, look at that. So
part of the community that brought her snacks in that episode.
That's yeah, that probably was. Yeah. I wonder if they.
I'm sure it's that community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, of course.
Yeah,
it has to be.
Yeah. But what I thought was so strange is you know, when she, you know, because that's what she's kind of been searching for, seeking, no. And then this was right there, and she's, why is she so reticent?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it has everything to do with trying to assimilate. Because, you know, yeah. I mean, that was the thing of immigrants at the times, you know, post-World War II, mm-hmm. as well as, you know,
sure.
even later as this is. You know, a lot of families, when they came from the old country, they wouldn't speak the old language mm-hmm. so that they could assimilate immediately. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people's native languages were lost sure. to them and their families. But, yeah, so I think that was her motivation was, I'm here, I'm in a community, and said I need that. To be yeah, part to of the community. Yeah. Right, yeah.
But I was saying, well, can you fit in and go there at the same time? Yeah. It's like, you know, but, you know, but I thought the better argument was reason why she was feeling, because Val senses it, she sees it, she's saying, why, you know, you talked about not feeling welcome, I hate that,
and that
you feel
the,
that way.
Yeah. Those other people are very lucky. Yeah. Barbara and Tom are very lucky.
Right, because the whole, you know,
the community embraced
them as family, and wasn't that
even
nice?
Even though they're from another
exactly.
place.
And mm-hmm. so we can see that that's, clearly this is on her mind, especially with the fact that Barbara and Tom are going through all this. And then mm-hmm. she's going, what would that be like for me? Because who would be there for me if I was going through that?
Yeah.
You know, although she feels great. She seems to feel welcome at Nanata's house, just not at the church. And then this is why. So,
oh,
you know.
Look, racism.
So,
again.
Shocker. <Yeah. laughs>
But I thought it was interesting that, you know, the whole thing about carrying a tune. And I didn't even know she could. And she says, oh, my mom tells me not to boast.
You dim your shine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. People aren't intimidated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then just because they gave her, a solo part in a song, which, you know, and that was the thing that turned people. But I thought her stance on saying, no, but I'm gonna stand there and I want to sing my heart out, you know, to basically not. Yeah, what's the word? Not be intimidated by this.
Yeah. Right.
But to show them that I'm going to be here and give my all.
And not
regardless.
Take the easy way out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have that.
And
argument.
Also not be pushed out of your own space.
Exactly.
That is supposed to be a part of your space.
You know, and, you know, not allow that to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to walk away from that, then there's no pushback.
It's hard to be the first.
Yeah. Exactly. It's hard to be the first. I'm stuck there. But then later on, I think it was just because, do you think it was this because of the barber, you know, afterwards and the embrace at home after, I know I'm crossing storylines, but when Phyllis and Tom get back to Nanata's house after mm-hmm. Barbara's passed and see that embrace and all that other stuff, you think that was the thing that actually said, well,
you know,
I want to be embraced this way too by family.
There, you know, there were several moments where Lucy had, you know, religious encounters. So
true.
She, you know, she tried to get Phyllis to pray with her, and that didn't go over well. She put her foot in it, as she said.
Yeah.
And then she talked to Val about it and said, you know, it would be like me asking you to pray with me, and that would be weird. Mm-hmm. And then Val said, well, I'll take you to that church. I'll go with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going in, but I'll go with you and, you know, take a walk about as you're doing it. So there were several moments mm-hmm. where Lucy kind of brought it up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think it's almost like she convinced herself in the end that, you know, maybe I should be part of that community and give it a chance and hang out with the people who I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or who just welcome me.
Or, exactly.
Yeah, I think she accepted that there's no defeat in going home.
Right.
And that would, for her, represented home. And obviously, like, that's not you turning your back on or not standing up to what you weren't comfortable with. But sometimes you just need to go home and you need a hug, and that's okay.
Yeah.
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 And that was great, though, the way they juxtaposed that and Amazing Grace and the whole singing.
Yeah.
It was just. I love that it happened just in the flat, and because the way Mrs. Palmer described it in the beginning was, oh, it's just here,
you're
you know,
we
heat the heat on, and, you know, only in the front room on Sundays, and I'm going, okay, because I didn't really picture it. Then when they showed it all, and everybody's just all collected there, and she really is just folded amongst them, and I thought, well, to me, that's why I thought the enfolding of Tom and Phyllis when they got back, I thought that was the parallel. Yeah, I thought that.
We got to come back to that moment when we get to
it.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
I just liked the way they folded the song in, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was a killer, because clearly.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Except she didn't, like, get as loud singing as I thought. Well, I was waiting for it.
That's what I was too. I was going, are we going to hear her sing? Because I want to. I want to hear this.
The woman who was actually leading probably was the one that would sing her out.
So yeah, I was just like, wondering.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
I was going, yeah, exactly. Because if I do that, well, I get out of here too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, say, hey, wait a minute. You're welcome, but not just yet.
Don't be showing everybody up while you're here.
Wait to get your own solo.
Be the new kid for a minute. Yeah.
Or it could have been, you know, sometimes when they think you really great at one church with the singing and then you go to another church, you're not the great.
Yeah, good point.
So, mm-hmm. good point.
Everybody's
choir is real different.
Yeah, that's true. But I wanted to hear her sing just because the idea is that my mom said not to boast. I'm going, ooh, I want to hear that.
Yes, I really thought we were going to get a little...
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. She just had this amazing voice and was like, whoa, Lucille. Yeah.
Like they were going to bring everybody down and just turn her up a little bit so we could actually
I wanted that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Singing at a funeral next week.
Stop, Tamara.
Okay,
Let's get into it.
Okay, so before we get into the story, how angry are you?
Oh, pissed. I am pissed at Heidi Thomas because she freaking lied to us.
I just tweeted emojis because I didn't have words.
She lied, she lied, she lied.
But, you know, that's her job to some degree, but yeah.
I mean, you can just mislead.
Yeah.
I just, whatever. It's fine. Fine. Just kill Barbara. Jeez. I didn't even like her that much, and I didn't want her to die.
And you usually do.
I'm usually like, yes, it's a great dramatic moment. Uh-huh. And no, I didn't want that at all. Uh-huh. And I didn't want that for Phyllis, which is what...
Right. Yeah.
Like, right. I feel like I was more in pain that Phyllis was in pain than that Barbara died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was tough.
One of my favorites of the tweets were hashtag Heidi lied, hashtag how could you, hashtag Sybil moment all over again for our Downton Abbey friends. Hashtag Nurse Crane's tears and hashtag Amazing Grace, hashtag in pieces. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heidi lied.
All the way.
Heidi lied.
All the way lied.
Yeah.
Made up a whole story.
She lied.
So now you know you can't believe anything she says.
I think we did say, they're not always telling the
Although last week when we talked about this, about the upcoming episode,
which would
be this week's, Tamara, you even actually said, no, I'm okay about it because I know...
Because Heidi promised.
You trusted her.
You trusted you were going to be
I never
safe.
Trust her again.
No, you can't.
Never trusting you again, Heidi
Absolutely
Thomas.
You can't. So.
You betrayed me.
Nope.
That's
well,
it.
Well, it's kind of... You can't trust...
I know you can't.
Their job is to lie. I mean, they have to, in these days, you got to throw people off, right?
Yes.
So.
It was painful.
She could have said, I'm not telling.
Well, yeah, that's true. She could have. But that wouldn't have been anywhere near as effective.
I wouldn't have been as mad.
That's
you're right.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So let's just speak the storyline now.
Meningococcal septicemia. Mm-hmm. Septicemia, meningitis, blood infection.
Jesus.
All of it. Why? All at once.
From where? How did this happen?
Why are there people like Frank in the world?
Yeah, why? Okay, as soon as they got better at the midpoint, I know I'm skipping ahead, but as soon as she got better and they got the goal, I was like, they're going to kill her.
Yep.
She's getting way too early too quickly.
I was definitely going back and forth the whole time because I was like, they're going to kill her. They're going to, no, they're not. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. Heidi Thomas told me she wasn't going to kill her. But I swear, this looks like they're going to kill her. Oh, no, she's getting better. Why would she get better? Oh, she would get better because she's going to die. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing the whole thing the whole time.
I
was sober.
Yeah.
She's young and strong. But Phyllis was very worried, and Tom wasn't allowed to see her.
That was
painful. Not only not allowed to see her, but like, feet. We're going to shut the blinds. You can't even look at her through the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, sorry.
No, you're okay.
That was hard.
It was terrible. And when she's in the hospital and the first time they're all like in the morning preparing their bags and everything. And she handed Lucy the patient from Barbara, she quivered
and her voice quivered.
Right. And I was like, oh God, she's gonna die. Like she really, because wasn't able to hold on. But shout out to the woman playing Phyllis. That little bit of a quiver in your voice, like
it was great.
In her moment of like, she still got it together and still doing things. Like
she was great because she went to drop the glove and Julian picked it up, and even that moment where you could, you know, she's so strong, and yet you could see the vulnerability because she knows at any moment this card's gonna get pulled out and this house is gonna come falling down. that yeah. And the way she tried to be strong for Tom, you know, providing him with sustenance and doing all the stuff there, strong all the way through, and you know, trying to give him hope. Look, she's not improving, and she's saying, "Hey, it cuts both ways."
That's right.
Means she's not getting worse,
right?
So you know,
yep.
Yeah, all along, and even when she the way she was with him at the end, he couldn't finish the 23rd Psalm, and
you can't wait. Please don't let her die. I have to go back. Wow. You keep running through these things.
Sorry.
Let us savor the moments, John. please don't let her die. And he's standing out in the rain.
Yeah.
Just standing, like, dazed.
Just the deluge of tears.
Like exactly.
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
Exactly.
Oh, no, but when they were at the table, mm-hmm. and Sister Monica Joan is like, I've gotten my
sight renewed. I'm old, I've had my time, yet here I am, sight renewed. Yet our dear friend is stricken. I would gladly let the Lord take me if he would spare her.
And then the table felt so empty, even mm-hmm. though Barbara hasn't been at the table because she was married or whatever. Right. However they shot that, it felt very, like, dark spaces between Lucy and what's her face, who I can't name right
Val.
Now because Val, Lucy and Val, like it was there was a lot of black mm-hmm. between them, and it made that whole scene feel really dark and terrible.
Also, Tom talking to Phyllis and saying, "I know how much you love her, and she loves you."
Yeah. And then you could, the look on Phyllis's face in that moment was amazing. but I also thought that when they. What is it? It was somewhere in the middle. I can't remember what happened, but they talked about her fingers and how she's taking a turn for worse.
Right.
And then we cut to the shot of Phyllis on the stairway with Monica Joan, and Monica Joan giving her the tissue for the tears and everything like that. That was a nice callback to Monica Joan and saying that she would
gladly die.
I wanted one moment at the end with Monica Joan when it happened, just so that. The she weight of that, I was wondering. I was hoping that we would get that moment too. I'm sure they decided it would probably take away from Phyllis's moment, but it would have been nice to see her awareness of I should have been the one.
Yeah,
and the injustice of that and stuff.
They might not kill Monica Joan at the funeral too. Like,
oh, good Lord!
She's talking about "Take Me, Lord" and all that. Because I can't deal with that.
No.
Just FYI.
No, yeah, no, but all bets are off.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously.
We don't know what's coming now.
A couple of other moments. So when she's first, when Barbara is first in the hospital, her hands were flat on her chest, and then she curls them under later on because she's either in pain or that's a reaction, or I felt like she was kind of hiding them. And then when Tom comes in, and he says, "Your hands are cold," and that's the whole. Your hand is cold. When you're better, we're going to move to the country. Mm-hmm. We're going to have kids. Mm-hmm. It's a different flock, different kind of flock. Mm-hmm. She wakes up. You need to shave. Yeah, you need to shave because you need to kiss your wife. And then he says, "Phyllis said you would say that," and she says, "Phyllis knows everything." Yeah.
Because Phyllis knew she was going to die.
But then she gets better. Yeah. We can visit. All the midwives get to go visit her in the hospital. And they bring her presents. Mm-hmm. The little glass angel. A monogrammed hanky. It's quite beautiful. Everything's great. Then we find out her hands are worse. She can't feel them. So then we have to go through the whole, okay, wait, maybe what the tragedy is
that she'll no longer be a midwife.
She's not going to be a midwife anymore.
The whole time I was watching this scene with them going through, all I could think of was Gone with the Wind when what's her name is dying at the end. Melanie's dying and everybody gets, like, the few people get their last moments with her. And I'm like, they're giving us her last moments even though we think that she's fine. And that was not okay with me. Very upset.
But I liked how they kept the relationship between Barbara and Phyllis intact.
Yes.
Phyllis was the only one she would confide in. She didn't. She was keeping it. Even she was trying to save Tom that pain too, because she said, "I hate the whole thing." She says, "I hate the next part is hardest because I hate to be the people I care for and being upset," or whatever that line.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was Phyllis that she confided in, not Tom. And because, and that's harkens back to their first relationships and how it was difficult in the beginning, and then they just found each other and had great friendship and all that other stuff. I thought that was a wonderful culmination to that.
Yeah, this bit is going to be hard. I hate to see the people that I love the most be upset.
Yeah. So.
And then the other thing that we I want to touch on is you must always hold my hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That Why do you want to touch on that? Always. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. I don't.
But that's messed up because that's kind of like latching onto him for eternity.
Well,
it's like, you know you're dying, girl. Don't tell him that. He's got to be able to free himself at some point and he'll never like, oh.
His face, though, in that moment when she's talking about, yes, let's move to the country mm-hmm. and we'll have our brew, yeah. you know, our kids. And his face is he's sitting there just not even pretending not to cry. Mm-hmm. Like the tears are coming down. His face is red. And she says, what? Can you bring my ring, mm-hmm. my engagement ring, the next time you come?
I never
come?
Felt safer.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I until she had said that, I went, wait, what's ring? Oh, right. The whole yeah. thing. They didn't have a ring. They made
From
it out of grass.
Africa, yeah, exactly. Made out of the
stinking grass ring. Yeah.
That's dead. Because grass dies.
I never made that connection, but thank you, Courtney.
My life has been blessed with you to have you in it. I can't bear to let you go. Mm-hmm. And then Phyllis coming in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then Phyllis coming in.
Okay. But the shot before that when they're running. And
oh, yeah. 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 Right. Phyllis gets the phone call. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Phyllis!
Yeah. It's overwhelming.
They're running toward and him. Tom running down the hall of the hospital. That was, I thought that was a great shot and very different from things that we've seen before. Yeah. Yeah. So then they both get there. She's had irreversible damage.
Yeah.
Talk to her. She can still hear you. And so because he's a preacher, mm-hmm. as you were saying, he recites the 23rd Psalm, mm-hmm. can't finish it. Mm-hmm. And so we look to Phyllis, who's probably going to say some nice comforting words that are, you know, nothing we've heard before. Oh, wait, no. She knows the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah. And he stopped at the valley of death.
And on that, exactly. And that's like, okay, here's the interesting thing. She didn't want to pray mm-hmm. with Lucille, but she clearly knows the 23rd Psalm and everything. So we don't know what all that's about. But I thought that was a nice mm-hmm. pull from that. So, and then she's just so stalwart, Phyllis. Until, I mean, let's go, I mean, right there, when you go back, I mean, after she passes away.
Yeah, so she's gone, he puts on the ring, and then the next thing you see is him, basically the way she was like shepherd, she shepherded him in, she mm-hmm. delivered him
Valley of the Shepherd.
Yeah. into the fold. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, people talked to me about that scene before I saw it, mm-hmm. So I got to not read Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was Oscar night. We kind of had to read Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone mentioned how, I think it was Anna. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anna. Mentioned how beautiful that scene went. And it was. That was the moment where I lost it. Like I was tearing up. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Phyllis very carefully.
Yeah.
You know, bringing him in mm-hmm. and nothing but the fireplace lighting the room and all of our principals, all the main people in our lives there.
Embrace.
And she, he gets brought in, and Fred goes and grabs him, and then Phyllis goes out, and I was like,
I was good until that moment.
Yeah, me
too. And you saw Phyllis on the steps.
Yeah, no, I cried once
they brought him in.
Actually, when Fred touched him and like pulled him to everybody, and the way they shot that above, and you just kind of saw heads.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Fred lost his wife.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But the shot on Phyllis, I was a mess. Yeah, I have to.
Yeah,
it barely got me.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, John.
Yep.
So the shot.
Do you
of
need
Phyllis.
A Kleenex, Sean? No.
I'm
fine.
Good.
I'm fine.
So the shot of Phyllis on the steps was great.
And that was just
because you know the whole
painful.
Episode, you could see her
holding it
even past the point where she could have easily just been embraced by everybody too, but she still let Tom have that because he needed it. More than she at least in her mind.
In her mind.
Exactly. And she had that moment privately, and it could have been because she thought Tom needed it himself, or she just
think it was too much.
Yeah, she might have been able to bear it.
Yeah,
and maybe she was just wanted to have it private because she was afraid to. Who knows? But it was very effective. And that's when we get Amazing Grace afterwards. Because we weren't gone enough.
No.
No, that'd make it Amazing Grace.
I mean, there was something, because it was a very shortcut to that. Like, because it was her at the door, and she had on that red coat and the white hat, and it was very bright and alive to go literally from Phyllis on the Stairs, almost rainy and wet. Mm-hmm. Like, and then to go right to that was a little jarring. But I guess it made me feel what the incident is. It was jarring. Like, why would that just happen? And I think it was sort of discussed in the final monologue too.
And also, you know, life goes on for those left behind.
Well, that's why I think, you know, I was making the point earlier that I think that envelopment is what the thing that, that caused Lucille to just go, because she needed to be embraced too in such a way. And I think that for me, that was what made that transition work.
Yeah.
But I thought the haunting shot of the end, what was the line?
Okay. Love cannot always save us, but it can be the reason why we fight. Then love becomes the wound that leaves the space that bleeds.
The wound that bleeds.
The space to be filled. Mm-hmm. The
emptiness
that echoes into silence.
So the emptiness that echoes into silence, and we just pull back. It's Tom in his kitchen alone. Oh. You know, Barbara clearly. Of course, it's not there, and we just pull back and go into darkness.
And much of their interaction had been in the kitchen about the ironing.
And he even said earlier he didn't want to go back.
He wanted to make her some marmalade toast or whatever, and she needed to get in bed. Mm-hmm. Like, that was their laugh. And I was,
and he's just sitting there and vacant and hollow. And we go, hey.
That was life is shattered in an instant.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
So maybe I was just wondering, you know, because Heidi had said, you know, there's not going to be any main characters
are going to die.
And I'm just wondering if Andrea Gibb got the memo, because she's the one that wrote
this. Did you know it was coming?
Right.
What happened?
I think maybe she was not in on that email thread.
Exactly. No. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, big miscommunication. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
So this, it was like, I don't know, how many hankies for you, Tamara?
Four.
Yes.
Now, I have a cold, too, I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, it's all stuffy. Yeah. You're crying, and
And a burst eardrum. I'm all right. Nothing that a midwife couldn't fix.
But I agree with Courtney about the whole, I mean, I didn't want to see Barbara go. I like her as a character. Dumb. I thought she did a good job. But it's the effect that it had on Phyllis that was just,
Well, you said it.
Don't mess with Phyllis.
2 weeks ago, do not mess with Phyllis.
And they did. They messed with her worse than I ever. I was like, okay, she's going to get burned. That's fine. She'll get over that. But no. You like crushed whatever.
Right.
Whatever bloomed in her dealing with these other women and being with Barbara.
And the youthfulness
just
of Barbara. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like murdered and slaughtered and drugged down the street. Mm-hmm.
And
because,
you know, she is as good as she is with the other, with Barbara, she opens up to her.
Special.
Exactly.
It was her child. You just watch her child die. Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh my God, what's left for Phyllis? Yeah. How is she going to overcome that?
And we don't know a lot about Phyllis, do we? Like,
really.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. So. It's too much.
The daughter she never had.
So, and it reminded me of
or
Monica
maybe she
Jones'
had a daughter.
Questions.
We don't know.
Yeah, well, no,
that,
we don't.
Yeah, it reminded me of those questions that Monica Jones was having, which is better. You know, and who knows if you know, Phyllis chose that life because
she's so strict because something was lost.
Exactly.
She can't open up to that again.
No, we just know that she carries it in. Only one she opens up to was Barbara. So I'm wondering if she'll turn inward again and not open up. Will she be? Who knows?
No.
We don't know. But it's going to have an effect on her. So
it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Can I read you a couple of
tweets? Yes, please.
Just a couple of suggestions that were given to us. One was make sure you have the wine because you're going to need it.
It was probably good I didn't have wine because that would have been a much bigger wreck.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk.
Me too. Me too. One of our friends said, you guys are going to need a pint of ice cream. Mm-hmm. Each. One recommended or chose for himself a tub of Pringles and vodka. Damn you, Phyllis and Barbara, he says.
Pringles and vodka.
That was a good one.
And and this one that I particularly love.
Potatoes
this is
on
not
potatoes.
Some, this is, I don't think this is any. Oh, yeah, it is potatoes on potatoes. Yeah. I don't think this is anybody who follows us in particular, but call the midwife. I hate you and I'm never watching you again. See you same time next week.
Exactly.
That is our relationship in a nutshell.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
So some thank yous to Lee Ferguson, our secret agent, Ryan Pendleton, JOK3, Rebecca Schwab, Anna C., Anna, and Eric Tall, and also the friends on YouTube.
Exactly. Okay, now we're not going to do predictions because we're just not going to.
Wait, but. I have just a quick one, though.
Okay, all right.
Funeral next week.
That's a prediction?
No, but see, next week is the finale. Yeah.
Correct, right? That's why I want to talk.
The finale of last season.
Right.
Was Barbara and Tom's wedding.
Yeah, they didn't even make it a whole season.
So rude!
That's rude as hell.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Of all the people. But I guess who were they going to kill?
Yeah, who
Monica
else were they
Jones!
Kill?
They didn't have to kill
sad.
Any of them.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh.
Sorry.
We just had an accident in the studio.
It's okay. It's all right.
Everybody's fine.
Tammy's drinking.
That hot chocolate.
It was my empty hot chocolate
all.
Container, yeah. Which was supposed to have brandy in it, but it didn't.
All right, so we got the... Final finale.
Yeah.
So, what are we looking forward to? What are we?
None of it. I mean, what are they gonna? We're gonna be crying the whole episode.
Well, yeah, of course.
They got a barrier in the process of burying. Yeah. We already saw Tom's gonna be distressed and breaking
throwing
things.
Chairs and, exactly.
Yeah. So there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there.
Okay, really. But there's gonna be a ray of hope somewhere, right?
Where? Why?
Well, I don't know because
Because
they're always
born.
Yeah.
That's what's the ray of hope.
Well,
life
yeah.
goes on.
Yeah. Circle of life. And
thanks,
all.
John. You could die at 25 or however old Barbara is, but it's fine because life will go on without you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Tom and Trixie?
Well, no.
No!
I think.
Yeah, I don't think so
either.
I was asking on behalf of a friend.
I think the ray of hope is going to be the Stones.
The Rolling Stones are going to be at the
exactly.
funeral. They're going to play
yeah,
the funeral?
Sure.
The funeral.
Exactly.
That would be great.
Awesome.
Well,
that, good.
Maybe
yeah.
What is that song? Funeral for what? What is it?
Yeah. No, that's Elton John.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, oops. Maybe Lucy will sing a song for us a little bit.
Wouldn't that be okay?
Lucy
but that would be amazing.
Very angelic and sweet.
That would be great. That would be amazing.
And we'll cry and sob as the white flowers go into the ground. Yeah, that about sums it up.
But are you looking forward to
it? No, I'm really not. Like, I'm really not. I'm not looking forward to it. Like, I have to watch it.
Of course.
I have to see it.
Yeah.
Passionately
you
have
can't,
to see it.
Exactly.
But I'm not looking forward
no,
to it.
No, I'm kind of going, oh,
I'm kind
man.
Of not. She's wrecked me.
Yeah.
I'm wrecked.
No, you're wrecked today because you just saw
me
been talking about it.
Next week.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is by the time you watch it next week, you'll have a few days.
We'll have marinated for a few
days. Yeah, you'll have a chance to recoup and then, you know, come
Can you
Saturday.
Imagine Phyllis at this funeral?
No, I don't know how they're going to do it.
How are they going to do this funeral?
I don't know.
Are we going to see it?
I don't even know. Do you think she's even going to show up?
I don't know. That's what
yes,
I'm like,
she's so
she's
stands on ceremony. I would say absolutely. They're all of them are very
no,
proper
no, I,
in that
I,
way.
I absolutely, but I'm just wondering if she'll actually be there or will she be behind?
Will she
not be
stairs,
able to go but be and just be in the background? I don't know that. I could absolutely see her have everybody there and Phyllis not go. Because she just can't handle it, and you know she's standing back, and everybody else is there, and they don't even know, and who knows?
I mean, but. Or maybe she gets sick. I mean,
yeah, is somebody else gonna get meningitis? Where did this
oh
come from?
Oh my God! The Stones play the funeral. You can't always get what you want.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Thank you.
Harsh
secret agent.
There you go.
Harsh. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure it will be beautifully done.
Well, I mean, no, you're right. They always find a way to uplift us. Well, except for today. They didn't, you know, in this episode. You know, weird thing is that the show's now starting to air back again in the U.S.
Yeah, it's just
and
starting.
And so I'm getting ready to send out my tweets for the Christmas episode, but they're crossing, you know? And so I don't want to go, like, because I've been sending tweets to you people and saying, you know, how sad I am and how heartbroken I am. And then I have to go, American fans,
yay!
Christmas episode!
Guess what Santa brought you this year?
Yeah.
Meningitis. It's tragic.
Meningococcal septicemia. Don't Google it.
It's communicable. Don't Google it. Okay. Well.
I don't know. I have nothing else.
No,
I
haven't.
Like,
we're done.
They
actually, we're done.
They took my soul. So
they
I
did.
I'm just. I'm just. No. I was exhausted, and now I'm thinking. Okay, it'll take me a few days to recuperate. And then I can't wait to see the next one. And I'm gonna get. But actually, I'm looking forward to being destroyed
because
it's a finale. So why not get destroyed? You got months to get recoup.
Oh, so you're looking for the tragedy finale, are you?
Of course.
With no ray of hope.
No, no, there'll be a ray of hope.
Sure,
yeah,
a tiny one. But we're going to be like, are we going to be like tears streaming down our faces with smiles on them? Is that it?
No, it's going to be that wonderful, bittersweet that, you know. No?
What?
No,
you're not going? Can they do? Yeah. What can they possibly do to uplift with that?
I don't even know. I just
They're
don't
putting Barbara
even know.
In the ground.
Trixie's going to come back.
Yay.
No, she's not.
No.
Well, it's months later.
Yeah.
Not months later in real life.
Well,
she was, remember, she left because she couldn't
perform
anymore.
They filmed around it.
No, she was exhausted because she was so.
She's had months to rest.
Yeah.
All right, we could just go on and on.
This one was, but it was. There were so many beautiful things in it. You know, beautiful shots, beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. We've been asking for it.
Sure,
we have
yes,
been true. Asking for
we,
it.
We got it.
We were
we
commenting
to cry,
that
like, oh, you didn't gut wrench us that much.
Yeah,
well,
you got it all in once. You big liar, Heidi Thomas.
One thing Courtney didn't want them to do, they messed with Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Right.
And
yeah,
the damage is permanent.
Well, yeah. It was a pleasure to watch.
Thanks, you guys.
Courtney, let them know.
You can find me all over the social media. At Stuart Starlet.
It's and shout out or something. Give her some words of encouragement. Make her feel a little bit better.
For me.
Exactly.
Don't send me no angels.
No.
Because when they sent her an angel.
I
have one of those angels. It was up in my Christmas stuff, though, so I didn't pull it out.
Is there an angel? What did they think she was going to do?
Yeah, finale next week. If any of you want to send us something special to enjoy the finale with,
go ahead.
Know who I'm talking to out there.
I don't know what that means.
You know how to find us.
I don't know what that means.
I'm at Tamara Berg on Twitter. Website's TamaraCentral.com.
And I will just be waddling in a puddle of tears.
Yeah, you will.
That's what I do on the dark web.
Puddles of sorrow.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. We love talking to you, and we can't wait to talk to you next time.
Next week.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later. Shot of brandy.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.